Tonight, we're going to start down another path. I think a very important path. I think something that we all need to learn. I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Again, this evening, we will start another series of teaching. Matthew chapter number 7, and I want you to go to verse number 24. Matthew 7, verse number 24. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." If you'll look back at me, please. This is a familiar passage of Scripture to most that get in church much, or they're around the church much. Let me remind you of what's taking place here, and then we'll apply it to this evening's subject. Jesus is speaking here about the building of a house, if you will, a structure. And he talks about there being two foundations on which that house can be built. In verse 24 and 25, he said, one house could be built on a rock solid foundation. Then, in verse 26 and 27, he said, another was being built on a weak, sandy foundation. That sand being shifty and unstable. Now, let's talk for a moment about the rock solid foundation. The rock solid foundation. A man is about to build or is building a house. The Bible says he is a wise man. The foundation of the house determines the strength of the house. How durable it is. How well it can stand. His foundation, it's on a rock. And so here is a wise man. He's building a house. He builds the foundation. He builds it on a rock. And the rain came. The rain came, the Bible says, it rained so much that it conjured up a flood. There was so much rain that a flood came. And it actually calls, it says that the rain beat upon that house. Now, sometimes when it's raining outside, you can't hear it. You know, there are times you walk out and it's just wet everywhere. And you say, I didn't even know it rained. Now, there are other times when it rains, you're saying, whoa, listen to that. Wow, that rain is coming down hard. I've been in buildings where you couldn't even hear people talk. The rain was just beating upon the house to the point where I've even seen raindrops large enough hit hard enough that they're dinning aluminum, dinning siding, almost as if it were hail. Now, here the Bible says the rain came. And it came hard. It was raining so hard that it floods. It's beating upon that house. Now, that when it says it's beating there, it means something's taking a real pounding. That rain is pounding this house. Hey, but praise the Lord, the house did not fall. It stood firm. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. And that foundation made it sturdy, predictable, if you will. Now, wait. Another part of the story. The house built on the sandy foundation, weak, unstable foundation. So now a second man, he builds. Maybe using somewhat the same blueprint, but he goes a different route with his foundation. This man, the Bible says, is a foolish man. Now the opposite of a wise man is a foolish man. And the foundation now, remembering that foundation, where we build it, how we build, what we build upon, determines the strength, how durable that house is. This man, he builds on sand, opposed to the first man that built upon the rock. Now, his foundation is upon this sand, and it's that sand is shifty. That sand is unsecured. That sand is unpredictable. And I believe he went through the very same storm. The rains come. And the Bible says again that it rained so hard, so long, so fast, there was a flood, and the rain beat upon that house. I mean beat it, pounded it. Oh, and his house fell. Its foundation, it must have just popped right out from underneath. It shook and rattled and it shifted and it twisted. And it ends up falling. It collapses. And it even goes as far to say, and great was the fall of it. Now that probably means the thing just flat out collapsed. Great was the fall of it. Now, I believe it was the same flood and the same rain hitting virtually the same kinds of house or the same kind of house. The only difference was the foundation. That's what the Bible lends to cause us to believe. Now, one fell and one remained strong. Now, of course, God is trying to teach you and I something as Christians. You've heard the song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." See, God's building us. We are a work in process. God's building you and God's building me, and we're all growing. Now, why does the same spiritual storm come to one man that comes to another? And when that spiritual storm beats upon one man, he collapses. The same spiritual storm comes to another man, but he stands strong. Why? Why is that so? How is it that a spiritual storm comes to one lady in the church and she remains strong as the winds of adversity are beating on her? She's strong, but wait, another lady in the church, she faces the identical storm and she collapses. She gives up on God. What in the world is the difference? Well, I think tonight's teaching is the difference. You see, in verse number 28, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings." Now, he told this story, and we're coming to the end of his story, and he says, "The people were astonished at his doctrine." Now, so you know, the new series that I'm teaching is on the subject of doctrine. We're going to talk about the doctrines of the Bible. Now, understand something here. It says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." His doctrine. Doctrine, these are the teachings of God, the foundational teachings of Jesus Christ. Webster's dictionary says, "Doctrine is a particular principle. It's a position or a policy taught or advocated." When it is Bible doctrine, then it is Bible principles, Bible position, policy, or teachings. Now, actually, the word doctrine comes from a Latin word. The Latin word, its root word is doctor. And doctrine are those things that will keep you spiritually healthy. Verse number 24 says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now understand something. Here God is saying, you need to hear what I'm teaching you. Now what were they astonished with? His doctrine. And he said at the inception of the story, he said, you need to hear these things I'm teaching you, which was doctrines, and do these things that I'm teaching you. He's saying you need a good, strong foundation. Let me tell you how you won't be a Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church dropout. You come every Wednesday night and you learn the doctrines of the Bible, and we will found you on the rock of the Word of God. And when the winds of adversity blow, you will be founded on a rock, and you won't find yourself as a castaway. Your spiritual home, your spiritual life will not collapse. He said, now if you'll hear these. Now wait a minute. He said you have to hear and do. All sorts of people come to church and listen, walk right out and live the same way they lived before, and they don't go do what they heard. He said, you're going to have to hear these doctrines, then do these doctrines. It says in verse 28, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were amazed. They were sweetly surprised. Now, why were they amazed at the doctrinal teaching here of Jesus Christ? It says in verse 29, "For he taught them as one having authority." Now, what did that mean? He was sure of himself. Now, listen, folks. You need to become sure of yourself doctrinally. Doctrinally. You know, there's a difference in cockiness and confidence. You know, if you know what the Bible says, you can stand on the Bible. Except that's what the Bible says. You hear me often say, that's what somebody came to see me the other day and they said, I'd like to talk to you about something. They don't come to our church and they asked for an appointment with me. I said, you're going to have to talk to your preacher. And the preacher said, fine. They came in to see me, said, I'd like to talk to you about a couple of things. And they started asking me about some of the things I teach. And I said, well, listen, you don't come to this church and it's probably not best that we get into that. And they said, well, I hear that you believe that there's one word of God. I said, yes, ma'am, and I believe that without apology. She said, you're very confident. I said, the Bible's a confident book. Amen. Yeah, I have a certain confidence about that. I believe that very, very strongly. I know what the Bible teaches about it. Listen, you are going to be blown away by weird doctrines unless you get you a good, firm foundation of what you believe. Here it says they were astonished with his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. He knew his stuff. See, he lived what God had given him to live, because the Bible says you are going to be a wise man if you hear it and live it. Now, Jesus is a wise man. He's one of authority. That means he was living what they were hearing. He was living what he was saying. He was bold. He was not wishy-washy about what he believed. God knows some Christians need to stop being so wishy-washy about what they believe. If somebody asked me about the King James Bible, I'm not afraid to say, that's the Bible I believe. That's the one. That's the only one. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be mean to them or rude to them. And I really don't want to get into some great big long dissertation and conversation. But I'm not afraid to say what I believe. He spoke as one with authority. Then it says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, who were the scribes? These were religious note takers. Scribes. They were just writers. They were writers, but not doers. They were writers, but they were not livers. They were listeners, but not livers. They were just religious on the outside and kind of empty on the inside. They did not have a good, firm foundation of what they believed. Jesus is that solid rock. The scribes were that sandy foundation. They were virtually just religious spectators. That's all the scribes were. They'd follow around the religious things and watch it all happen, but they never lived it. Now, so I want the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I want them, first of all, I want them to be wise. I want you to be wise. I want you to be built as a Christian. I want your life to be built on the solid rock foundation. I want you to have a foundation of the Bible. I want you to understand the doctrine of the Bible. I don't want you to be shifty. I don't want you to be doctrinally shifty. I don't want you to be quitters and insecure, shifty religiously, weak in your Bible knowledge. I want you to know the Bible. I mean, I want you to be able to stand up and say, this is what I believe, and this is why I believe it, and this is where it's at in the Bible. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. You need to know what you believe. I entitled tonight this opening sermon, The Doctrine of the Importance of Doctrine. The Doctrine of the Importance of Doctrine. You're not going to find this in anybody's book or any series anywhere. I've been working on this sermon for weeks and weeks and weeks to open this series tonight. So what I'm going to do is we're going to start a series called Bible Doctrine Made Practical. And I want you to see the doctrines of the Bible. We're going to make them practical so they apply to your life. Now, the truth is, when people hear the word doctrine, a lot of times they don't even know what that means. I'm going to describe it to you. But then when we hear doctrine, we have a tendency to say, oh, great. It's probably going to be boring. Well, I really don't think that has to be the case. I really don't. I believe that with what we're going to learn, we're going to find it practical. We're going to find it enriching. And many of you are suddenly going to feel like, you know what? I'm beginning to feel like I'm becoming an authority on doctrine. Arrogant? No. Confident? Yes. 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 People almost don't understand confidence anymore. We live in a world where they feel like, well, you know, there are no absolutes. Again, I'll say it. I said it on Sunday night. There are absolutes. This book is full of absolutes. This wishy-washy, put your tail between your legs and run and cater to what everybody thinks and believes. I'm sorry. The Bible says we're to stand up, we're to earnestly contend for the faith. That means we're to stand up and say, this is what the Bible says. Again, I'm not talking about being rude. I am, though, talking about being confident. Confident. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this microphone on if I can. It says, there we go, that we be no more children tossed to and fro. Here the Bible is saying to us that we should not remain spiritual children forever. We've got to learn the Bible. We've got to learn what that book says. When children are little, they're not little for long. They're supposed to be learning how to grow up and be strong and become mature adults. And every one of us are to be growing up in the Lord and becoming spiritually strong. And it says here that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. What's it talking about? If you're on a firm foundation, you know where you stand. You plant yourself on the book and what the book says, and you don't get blown around. In other words, when wind comes, that wind of some other doctrine, you say, wait a minute, I know what the Bible says. Some of us, I'll tell you, and I'll get to this in a little while, but you watch people on television and they start talking about this part of what they believe, and they start teaching things that are not true in the Bible, and you get blown over here for a little while. And then tomorrow you watch some other kook on television and they blow you over here, and now you're confused, which one do I believe? And then you're listening to your Christian radio, and half the stuff on the Christian radio, they're full of prunes, and they blow you over here for a little while, and then you pick up some book at the so-called Christian bookstore, and they blow you over here for a little while, and then you're down at work and you and some fella are talking and they blow you over here for a little while, and you are so confused, you don't know what you believe, so you just say, it's all good, God loves everybody. Yeah, God loves everybody, but God hates false doctrine. Sure, God loves every person that's caught up in false doctrine, but God hates false doctrine. And so we just read everything, listen to everything, watch everything, believe everything, and we're dizzy. And the Bible says, though, that we should have a firm foundation. And they were astonished with his doctrine. Now, I want to talk to you about that very subject for a little while this evening. Number one, what is doctrine? Doctrine is the teachings of the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. Now, let's make that real clear. It's not just another book. It's not just a good book. Though it is a good book, it's not just a good book. This is God's Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, do you know who that's talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find out that Jesus and God were talking. He said, let's create man in our image. That was Jesus. So, when Jesus was born, he was the walking Word of God. He was the Word of God that had become flesh. Now, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he is the truth, he is the Word, and he says in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Bible doctrines are the truth or the truths of the Word of God. Now, Who is the truth? It's Jesus. So, Bible doctrines are what Jesus is. Is that good grammar? But I know what I'm saying. Bible doctrine is what Jesus is. Because He is the Word of God. And the doctrine is the teaching of the Word of God. And so, when you study Bible doctrine, you are in essence studying the Lord Jesus Christ and what He is. Listen to me. If you will learn doctrine, you will learn of Him. If you will get close to that book, you will get close to Him. You need to learn doctrine because doctrine is Jesus and you're supposed to love Him and get up close to Him. You say, oh, well, we sang this song and I got a fuzzy feeling and it made me feel closer to Jesus. Let me tell you something, make you even feel closer than singing a song and get a fuzzy feeling. Hey, learn the Bible. Learn the Bible, because the Bible is Jesus Christ. Therefore, the teachings of the Bible, which are the doctrines, we are learning of Him. The Bible says that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What it's saying is you ought to think the way He thinks. Now, this book is the mind of God, or it's the brain of God. You have a chance to learn how God thinks. You can get in to the mind of God. Matter of fact, you can get the mind of God in your mind if you'd like. So what is doctrine? Doctrine, it's the teachings of the Bible, the truth of the Bible. But who's the truth? It's Jesus Christ. Let me tell you one reason. I think it's a little sad when we hear someone say, I'm going to teach you a doctrine of the Bible, and you go, oh, great, this is bound to be boring then. How dare you be bored with someone that wants to teach you about Jesus? We are about to learn of Him and what He is. Every doctrine of the Bible is another explanation about what Jesus is and what He's really all about. When you get to heaven, these things are going to be far more important than what we make them out to be down here on earth. Let's prepare to go heaven to heaven and be prepared to be close to Him. But I'll promise you, you get close to the Word of God and you're getting close to Jesus Christ. Number two, we're commanded to study doctrine. We're commanded to it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13 says this, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and doctrine. Here the Bible's telling us that we are to give attendance to doctrine. That word attendance there means it is supposed to get special attention. So that's exactly what we're doing here on this Wednesday night. And I teach doctrine all the time in our church. We're going to specifically, though, starting this evening, we are going to specifically give attention to the doctrine of the Bible. Why? Because God commands that we do so. He said, until I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Give your attention to doctrine. It's like giving your attention to Jesus Christ. You ought to want to learn doctrine. Don't allow yourself, if you ever have in the past, decide to change it tonight, never allow yourself to hear the word doctrine and say that's boring. Because the truth is, the speaker may be boring, but the topic is not, because the topic is Jesus Christ. That is the topic. Every time someone's teaching you Bible doctrine, they're talking to you about the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, and the speaker may be as boring as the day is long, but the subject is as exciting as it can be. He's the one that died for you, was buried for you, resurrected for you. He lives on high today. He's waiting for us to come home and be with Him in glory, and we're going to spend the rest of our days in heaven with doctrine. It's a part of heaven because it's Jesus Christ. I had a little fear. I thought, boy, I'm going to tell the people we're going to start studying doctrine on Wednesday night, and they're all going to go, ugh, yuck. And I got to thinking about what it really is. And the more I studied it, the more excited I got. And I thought, boy, this could be fantastic. We will be founded and secure, and we won't be shifty, and we'll understand more about Jesus, what I know. That's what it is. So, we're commanded to study doctrine. Do you know what you believe? Too many of us, we don't know. We do not know what we believe. If someone said to you, prove to me from the Bible what you believe about thus and so, you'd say, sorry, don't have time right now. You have to exit stage left. Because you don't know what you believe. I'd like for you to know what you believe. I'll tell you something. When you come to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you bring your Bible.
Amen.
Bring your Bible.
Yes.
Have your Bible with you. Have it in Sunday school. Have it in church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Have that Bible. It is the ultimate textbook.
Amen.
We want you to know the Bible. Not ashamed of that. Brings a lot of security to a church. Jesus said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, we've got a lot of security because we've got an old black book that's not changing, and we're going to stick to that book, and we're going to believe that book, and I want you to have the security of knowing the Bible. And God commanded us to study doctrine. And so, what is doctrine? Well, in essence, it's the study of what Jesus really is. Secondly, we are commanded to study doctrine. Number three, as a preacher, I am commanded to teach and preach doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice, it says here, this thing called doctrine is profitable. Now, we've already discovered why it's profitable. It's profitable because it will make you secure. It's profitable so you won't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. And again, let me say something about that. There's some of you, you have all sorts of problems, you're a nervous wreck. If you would just get settled in your doctrine, we could do away with some of your nervousness. You're not spiritually founded. You're not emotionally founded. You need to figure out what you believe and get you a good, firm foundation on what you believe, and it will settle so many fears in your life. But the man of God is commanded. Here it says that I am to teach the doctrine because it's profitable for doctrine. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The teaching of doctrine is not most preachers' favorite subject. But, and I'll tell you why, it is laborious. And listen very carefully. To study doctrine is work. It's work. Hey, I can pop into Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, find one of them stories about Jesus and have me a heyday, just telling stories. But when you go to study doctrine, it's work. It's hard work. By the way, that is why the average congregation does not want to hear doctrine taught, because it is also work for your mind to sit there and stay alert and absorb it. And we are a lazy society. We are TV spoiled. Boy, if the scene is not changing every 3 seconds, if we don't have commercials, if there's not sex in it, if somebody's not getting drunk, if there's not filthy humor, if they're not taking us into outer space and then to the deepest part of the sea, you can't keep our childish little brains alert. So a preacher that's going to preach doctrine in this day and age, you better dance all over the platform and figure out a way to get everybody's attention, or they're going to be bored stiff with it. But let me tell you something. This whole book is an exciting book. And the reason why so many preachers don't like to preach it is because it is laborious. It takes work. And the reason why congregations don't want to sit still, hey, I hope to God it's not true. But hey, in the average church, starting to teach this after teaching the family for 30 some weeks, the attendance could go down. I don't think that'll happen here. Honestly, because of the spiritual temperature in this church, I think our church is going to grow throughout this series. But the average church, the attendance would go down when the preacher stopped teaching on the family on Wednesday night and went to teach doctrine. Why? Because there are so many lazy Christians, and to learn doctrine, it is going to tax your mind. We're going to fill your mind. And we're not going to fill it with Hollywood or entertainment. We're going to fill it with Jesus Christ, the doctrine of what... That's what the Bible's all about. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 3:17 says, let the elders that rule well, that word elder there would be equivalent to our modern day word pastor. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The Bible says it's hard work. Teaching doctrine is hard work. Learning doctrine is hard work. The pastor is commanded to do it. He's commanded to do what's hard. And the reason, once again, it's hard, so we don't want to do it. It's hard to learn, so we don't want to learn it. But we're supposed to. And so you'll have to work at listening. Oh, I may not have as many fancy little illustrations and cute little stories, but what we're talking about is Jesus. That's worth listening to. That's an illustration in itself. So, what is doctrine? Doctrine is the teachings of the Bible, or the truth of the Bible, which is in essence Jesus Christ Himself. Number two, we're commanded to study doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13. Number three, as a preacher, I am commanded to teach doctrine, even though it's hard and laborious. Number four, doctrine is described in the Bible in many different ways. Let me show you what I mean. For instance, God describes doctrine in the Bible. He says there is good doctrine. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. God's doctrine is good doctrine. The Bible doctrine is good doctrine. Which, so you know, if he says there is good doctrine, there is probably then an opposite, right? If you had to clarify there was a good doctrine, that means out there somewhere there's a bad doctrine. But one of the ways that the Bible describes this thing called doctrine is good doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, here the Bible says there's a description for doctrine, and God says there is good doctrine. For instance, you want to hear some good doctrine? You can get saved. If I took the time, I could teach you the doctrine of salvation, and I will during this series. But boy, that's good doctrine. Oh boy, I'll tell you what. Learning about the fact that we can be born again. Hey, have you heard the good news? You can get saved, and it won't cost you a thing. It costs Jesus everything, but it's a free gift. Now that's good doctrine if you ask me. Boy, that's good doctrine. Hey, get this. I've got some more good doctrine for you this evening. Do you know once you get saved, you're always saved? That's what the Bible says. Once you get saved, you're always saved. Boy, is that good news. That sounds like some real good doctrine to me. You know something? The Bible talks about good doctrine. Good doctrine is baptism after salvation. Good doctrine is creation, not evolution. Good doctrine is the virgin birth. Good doctrine is that there is a heaven. Boy, let me tell you some good doctrine. You know something? You're a sinner, and if you get saved, you can go to heaven someday, and you'll live for all eternity in a place called heaven. Boy, what a good doctrine, the doctrine of heaven. Woo! Hey, and you say, well, what's going to be so hot about heaven? I'll tell you what's going to be so hot about heaven. Jesus! We're going to be there with doctrine itself. Boy, that's good doctrine. Good doctrine. You know, I'll give you some good doctrine. Good doctrine is the fact that, do you know that when you get saved, God sends part of Himself to come live in you? The person of the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in you to comfort you and guide you and strengthen you. Hey, what's He there to lead you to do? He's there to lead you to understand, believe, and live doctrine. Jesus is in you to lead you how to get closer to Himself. That's good doctrine. So, the Bible describes this thing called doctrine in many ways. There is good doctrine. Then there is sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. That verse, though we pull it out, we're looking in the midst of that verse. It talks about sound doctrine. The word sound there means free from imperfection. free from imperfection. We're looking for doctrine that is free from imperfection. Let me tell you something. The purest doctrine, if doctrine is truth and truth is Jesus, that Jesus is perfect. No imperfections in Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine, though, is doctrine that is not decaying. That's what that means. A non-decayed truth. Let me tell you what happens. God hands to us pure, undecayed doctrine. But man gets a hold of it, and we don't pass it on. We don't boldly stand for it. And so the doctrines of God begin to decay. They begin to rot. Not because of Him, but because of us. They begin to rot to us because of the way we handle it. We don't tell the truth. Preachers cower to tell the truth. So you'll find congregations everywhere that I could stand up and preach some truth here and you'd all say amen. Those churches say, that's old fashioned. What they're saying is that is decayed in our thinking. There's some of you. I could preach a certain truth tonight. 95% of you would believe it. 5% would say, that's stupid. That's Old Testament. You don't need that. Wait a minute. I'd be real careful saying anything of God is decayed. We preach sound doctrine. It's undecayed doctrine. It is healthy doctrine. That's what sound means. I looked up the word sound. It means free from imperfection, not decayed, healthy, well, and not diseased. Fight tooth decay. You brush your teeth. Tooth decay is a disease. Well, you know what? We better keep brushed up on our doctrine because we better fight doctrine decay. And that's keeping the doctrine healthy and sharp and clean and alive. That's what sound doctrine means. So God says there is good doctrine. There is sound doctrine. Then, get this. The Bible says there are doctrines of devils. So this isn't about Jesus now. It's about somebody else. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Here the Bible says there are doctrines of devils. Now, there are a couple things that I think that means. First of all, I think it actually means doctrine of the devil. Do we not live in a day and age where we have devil worshipers? If true, pure doctrine is virtually Jesus Christ, then doctrine of devils is the doctrine or the lifting up of the devil as a god. If you were here, oh, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago on a Sunday night, I preached a sermon about witchcraft. We live in a day where there are doctrines of devils. There are virtual doctrines of devils. I also think it means that there are doctrines that are promoted by the devil. Doctrines of devils, meaning the actual promotion of Satan himself, and then doctrines or teachings promoted by Satan. You say, what is one of those? Works salvation. You see, there is only one way to be born again, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And anybody that thinks they can work their way to heaven, that is a doctrine promoted by the devil. Because it sends people to hell. It sends people to hell. So, the Bible talks about good doctrine. The Bible talks about sound doctrine. That's healthy doctrine, undecayed. The Bible talks about doctrines of devils. Then, the Bible talks about strange doctrines. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 9, the Bible says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. It says strange doctrines. In other words, people can take a doctrine of God and make it strange. Twist it. For instance, I have met some people that have taken a little teaching, a little story in the Bible, and they turned it into virtually a doctrine and a belief. Have any of you ever heard of what they call snake charmers? There's a story in the Bible. The Apostle Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake. He shook it off. He did not die from it. And in that time, in that particular story, and I could take you to the story and I could show it to you. In that time, it became a sign to the people around him that he was a man come from God. Now, there are people that have taken that very story and they have said that one proof of you being a man of God is you can handle poisonous snakes. And they actually bring poisonous snakes into their churches. And these people let them wrap around their arms, their legs. They let snakes loose in the congregation and they dance all over the place. Now, if I were in one of those meetings, it'd be proven real fast. I ain't no man of God. I'm out of here, baby. I don't want to mess with no poison. I don't want to mess with a snake that's not poisonous. Every time I lift up a big rock or a board out of my house, I do not lift it up with my face down front. I remember one afternoon, I lifted the garage door. I looked over, and there were two copperheads coiled up right by my garage door. Being the brave man that I was, I ran. I came to my senses, and I said, I got a chance to be a hero here. So I got the biggest stick I could find and beat the snot out of them babies. And then I went and told my wife. I said, honey, I killed a couple copperheads. Oh, you did? I said, yeah. Come here, let me show them to you. Oh, I don't want to see them, honey. Just keep them away from me. They're dead, babe. Don't worry about a thing. Oh, honey, you're so brave. Yeah. Yeah. But you've heard of them. They're out there. There are actually churches that bring the poisonous snakes in, and to prove that they have the blessing or the power of God on their life, they play with those snakes. That is not for a moment what the Bible was talking about. Matter of fact, that is more demonic than it is spiritual. So what is that? That is a strange doctrine, and I could give them to you by the dozens. Then it says here in Hebrews 13:9 of another doctrine. Remember, we have good doctrine, Proverbs 4:2, 1 Timothy 4:6, sound doctrine, 1 Timothy 1:10, doctrines of devils, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, strange doctrines, Hebrews 13:9, and again in Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. What are diverse doctrines? The word diverse there in the Greek means uncertain doctrines, manifold doctrines, contradictory doctrines, unpredictable doctrines, doctrines that change. What it means is they believe something for this stage in history, and then they changed and they believe something else for a while. And then they changed, and the times are changing, and you know how society is, and then they changed again. In other words, they get off the old paths. They believed something, they believed it firmly, society changed, people started tampering with the Bible, changing the words of the Bible. Society said, you should not preach against the sodomites, so they changed what they believed. I could take you to denomination after denomination that used to teach that sodomy was sin, now they have sodomites as their bishops and priests. I can tell you of denominations that used to believe that abortion was sin, that they don't believe it anymore. They say it's a woman's choice to choose. Now, if you have committed abortion, God will forgive you. He loves you. But I have to tell you, it's wrong. It's wrong. I can take you to denominations. The Bible very clearly teaches that a bishop is to be the husband of one wife. Now, to be a husband, you have to be a man. And they used to believe that. And now they have women that are husbands that are bishops or preachers. What is that? You have denominations and you have groups of people that are being blown about by every wind of doctrine. And those are diverse doctrines. It is the decaying of doctrine. It is the opposite of sound doctrine. They're being blown about and they're changing. That's one of the great dangers of all these new Bibles. They're changing the Word of God. Therefore, they're changing the doctrine and they're virtually rearranging Jesus Christ. We don't like Him the way He is. Oh boy. Well, that's awful. That's awful confident, isn't it? man changing God. I thought man was supposed to submit to God, not make God submit to what man wanted out of him. Then in Job 11:4 it talks about pure doctrine. Job 11:4 says, "For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure." Now I have to move on. So here's what we've said so far. What is doctrine? Doctrine is the teachings of truth, biblical truth, but Jesus is the truth. So in essence, we can get excited about doctrine because we're learning of Him and it's a way to get closer to Him. Number two, we are commanded to study doctrine, 1 Timothy 4:13. Then as a preacher, I'm commanded to teach it, even though it is hard work. Number four, doctrine is described in many different ways. Good doctrine, sound doctrine, doctrine of devils, strange doctrines, diverse doctrines, and pure doctrine. Number five, some Christians won't endure sound doctrine. Remember, what is sound doctrine? Undecayed. What is sound doctrine? Healthy, clean, pure, well, and strong doctrine. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I'm always asking myself this question. If I lose somebody from our church, and we lose very few, but when we lose them, I always ask myself this question. Is it my personality that ran them off, or is it the preaching? Well, I can tell you something. I'm always working on the personality part, constantly. I'm going to preach the truth. And I realize my personality bleeds out, but I do not want my disposition to run them off. But if our position runs them off, the Bible predicted that was going to happen. Dr. Smith, I wonder how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people have sat in these pews that just couldn't handle the old-fashioned preaching of doctrine. They couldn't handle the fact that the Bible is the Word of God and you're supposed to live by that book. And they'll leave. They'll leave. Listen, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, people will leave our church because we say, "Thus saith the Lord." People leave our church because we'll say, "The Bible says this, so we're going to do what the Bible says." When it talks about own lusts, you ever see one of them signs that say, "Attend the church of your choice"? Attend the church of your choice. Do you know what church you're to attend? The church of God's choice. One that has pure doctrine, sound doctrine, unadulterated doctrine, clean doctrine. And it's hard. The purity of God is hard on us all. We're all a bunch of sinners. Some choose to run from that purity. Others say, "Well, it's where I'm supposed to be." And it talks about teachers having itching ears. You know, when you itch, you want to scratch it because it feels good. You know? You get an itch. Scratch my itch. Oh, Mrs. Owen says, "Scratch my back. Scratch my back," she says. "Scratch my back." Her and Pupcake both. They want their back scratched. I remember, I think, honey, after we got here, Mrs. Owens and I think we gave a bunch of the people up in the Jolly 60 Sunday School class some plastic back scratchers. And nothing like being able to get to that itch. I mean, when there's some distance there, you got to get right in the middle of the back and you scratch that and it feels so good. There are all sorts of people, you know what they want taught? They just want taught what feels good. Come on, make me feel good. Come on, Brother Owens, tell them stories. Get off the doctrine and make me laugh. Come on, make me tingle. Well, every once in a while, you need to be told, "Thus saith the Lord." We throw some of that other stuff in there to keep the baby Christians coming. You say, "That's the only part about it I like." Classify yourself. We want pleasing teaching. We want physically satisfying. So some Christians will not endure sound doctrine. I was talking to Brother John Kidwell, and I were talking about something the other day, and I said, Brother John, you know, I've been good to this person and good to him and done this and done this and done this and done this for him and good to him and good to him, and it does not matter how good I am to them. They still don't like the preaching. So if you're as good as you can physically be to someone and they still don't like the preaching, I guess they just are not enduring sound doctrine. Number six, the Bible even says this: we are to mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Romans chapter 16 verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I guess that means when people are contrary to the doctrine, the Bible says, mark them. Mark them. So starting tonight, all the ushers have fluorescent paint, spray paint. A few of you are going to get dots in the middle of your head. We're going to get you a hotel. It says here, mark them. Now, let me tell you something. God says He does not want the unity in a church destroyed. He doesn't want you bringing division into the church. And let me tell you one of the things that will bring division in: when people start teaching their own thing. Well, let me tell you how I feel about that. You want to know something? Really doesn't matter how any of us feel about it. What's the Bible say? Well, the church that I came out of, let me tell you what they believe. I don't care what the church you came out of believe. I care what the Bible says. Well, that's old-fashioned. I don't care if you think it's old-fashioned. Then you think Jesus is old-fashioned. And by the way, He is the ancient one. He's the forever one. He goes back beyond time and back beyond your wildest dream. Hey, it doesn't matter what you think or what I think or what the denomination thinks. Brother Smith, I have been cordially invited this last week to become a part of the pastoral association in town. And if I went there, they'd rename it the week afterwards the Pastoral Assassination. Couldn't join it. Wrong doctrine. I'm to avoid, here it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid. That means you should not be reading books that have wrong doctrine in them. That means you should not go to churches that teach wrong doctrine. You should not be listening to TV preachers that preach wrong doctrine. You should not be listening to radio preachers that teach wrong doctrine. You should not be sending financial support to places that have wrong doctrine. We're not supposed to listen to Christian music that promotes wrong doctrine. Now, let me teach you one last thing and I'm done. Living the doctrine that you know helps you to understand the doctrine you don't know. Let me say it again. Living the doctrine that you know helps you to understand the doctrine you don't know. It's like this. If you will flip on the light that God has given you, it will help you to see other things that you at this time are not seeing clearly. John 7, verse 16 and 17 says this. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but it is His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. If you will do what you've already been taught, then God will open up an understanding of other things that you don't understand. But He's expecting you to obey what He's already taught you before He opens the door to the other truth. Some of us are just we're truth pack rats. Teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me, and God says, live, 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 live. Oh, tell me about it, tell me about it. Some of you need to stop being taught and start living what you've been taught. Listen, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. He is saying, if you'll do what you've already been taught to do, it will swing the door open to other things you need to know. The Bible says, and if ye shall know the truth shall make you free. What does that mean? Who is the truth? Listen, truth is like this. If there were a big room up here, if I would walk into a room of truth, and I'll live the truth that I'm in, the back door of this truth is another door. It is a door to another truth. If I'll live the truth that I'm in, it'll swing open a door to another truth. And the reason why some of you say, Brother Warren, some of the things, I just don't get it. I'll tell you why you're not getting some of the new stuff taught. You're not living the old stuff that was taught. Why in the world should God give you more doctrine if you won't live the doctrine He's already given you? Why should God trust you with more truth when He can't trust you with the last truth? Why is it that you were taught that you were to go out and do something for God and you've never done it? You just examine it and you look at it and then you read your Bible and say, why am I not understanding that? Are you living what He taught you yesterday? Matthew 7:24 says, remember, this is our opening story, talking about the wise man and the fool. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon rock. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. Why should God give you more understanding of doctrine when you won't live the last doctrine He gave you? Some of you are hurting yourself moving on in your journey upward to living like Christ because you thought, oh, I don't want to live that. That doesn't feel good. That's hard. Scratch my back, Brother Owens. Oh, that feels better. Listen, we're supposed to do what's hard. We're supposed to do what's hard. And in doing what is hard in our lives, we swing the door open for living more for God and understanding more of the book. Hey, one last thing. There's a doctrine. It's called the doctrine of salvation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me give you some good doctrine. Everyone's a sinner. The Bible says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible teaches us that because we're sinners, there's a penalty. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Wait a minute. It also says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just learned the doctrine of salvation. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin, death in hell. Jesus paid that penalty with His death, burial, and resurrection. If you'll turn to Him and ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior, He'll forgive you of your sin, take you to heaven when you die. If you're here tonight, there's a good doctrine called the doctrine of salvation. I invite you to accept the Savior. He'll take you to heaven when you die. All of us need to understand, I call tonight, the doctrine of the importance of doctrine. In essence, learning doctrine is learning Him. And that ought to make doctrine 10 times more exciting to us. We're just not learning dead, dry facts. We're learning about a living Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.